This is the KNX Business Hour. Business Hour with Frank Motek on KNX 1070 News Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the KNX Business Hour, number one for your business and consumer news right after the closing bell on Wall Street and your daily briefing on the economy. The Dow taking a tumble in the final hour of trading, down 82 points. We're back to 7,850. NASDAQ down 7. And the S&P 500 just closed down 8 points. The yield on the 10-year note now 2.89%. Passage of the economic stimulus plan in Washington stimulated the bears this afternoon. The House did pass the $787 billion economic stimulus package. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it with members of the Southern California Congressional Delegation in just a few moments. Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Morgan Stanley all saying they've placed a moratorium on foreclosing on some home loans to give the government time to launch a $50 billion mortgage relief program. We did see a brief short-lived rally during the session today after the White House announced President Obama will announce a plan to stem home foreclosures on Wednesday. Banking stocks are coming under pressure again today. Price of oil shooting higher, up $3.53 to $37.51 a barrel. Precious metals pulling back after a big run this week. Gold falling $13.50 to $9.35 an ounce, and silver slipped to $13.28 an ounce. Traffic and weather together on the at the CBS Broadcast Center on LA's Miracle Mile. Stocks pulling back despite the passage of the economic stimulus package. Also talk now about some kind of mortgage foreclosure relief being announced by the president on Wednesday. Joining us live now to wrap up the week on Wall Street, Michael Cugino, president of the Permanent Portfolio Family of Funds. Michael, give us your reading on this market pulling back despite that stimulus from Washington today.
Good afternoon, Frank. Yeah, I think it was a collective yawn, really. I mean, we've heard so much news on the stimulus, what it's going to do, how it's going to help everything. I think a lot of people see it for what it is. It may have some positive attributes, but there's a lot of negative spending in there that may or may not ultimately lead to economic growth. And so I think while people are happy, it's been expected that it would get passed pretty quickly. And I think there are some big questions with respect to what's in that stimulus package, whether it's really stimulative or whether it's just a cover for increased spending that will increase deficit spending and baseline spending going forward. I think the market recognizes that and had just a very so-so day today.
All right. And from an investment standpoint, is this going to have an impact? Or where are you putting money now and where are you taking it off the table?
Well, from our standpoint, we see a lot of uncertainty all over the place. I mean, I couldn't tell you whether this stimulus package is going to be stimulative or not. And I've seen some information where the effect of it versus doing nothing may not be that pronounced and may even actually lead to less economic growth than if we did nothing. So I'm a little skeptical. On the other hand, I mean, there are some reasons to be optimistic in certain asset classes. I think gold's going to continue a run based on inflationary expectations due to the liquidity out in the marketplace. I think U.S. stocks, if you have a strong stomach and a long-term time horizon, are attractive from a valuation standpoint in many different industry sectors. And I would also hold some high-grade corporate bonds for yield. I think the spreads compared to treasuries are very good there. And you might even want to hold some longer-term treasuries in the event that this deflation, we continue to bounce around the bottom with this deflationary issue that we currently have.
Certainly the news on the banking sector weighed on the market all week long. That announcement from Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner this week was a big disappointment. Do you think that plan, how do you think that plan ultimately will come together? Apparently it's still being worked out.
Well, you know, the good bank, bad bank thing has been around for a while now. So, you know, I think the market was very underwhelmed, like you mentioned, with that address. Big buildup and then sort of a letdown. And I think the issues with the bad bank, good bank still exist. I mean, the real issue is valuation and a desire to transact at the valuations. I mean, how do you value the bad assets on the balance sheet? Whether the government buys them or not, if they don't know how to price them, then you can't tell whether it's been a good purchase or a bad purchase, whether they're in a good bank or a bad bank. So that's an issue. And the other issue may be that from the banking standpoint, they know how to value the assets, but they don't want to transact. Basically, at these prices, they're too depressed, and the banks may feel like ultimately they may realize more value with those assets if they hold them and do nothing. So there's some sort of interplay between those two factors that are going to complicate the good bank, bad bank scenario.
All right. Any other thoughts about what's going on here? The announcement we're getting on Wednesday now regarding foreclosures, when the White House said that would happen, we did see a bit of a rally. What do you think we can expect next week?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of noise about trying to limit foreclosure problems. You know, I think you're dealing with a very sensitive issue because I think it's an insulting thing to do to help out people that got behind on their mortgages or entered into bad transactions. It's insulting to that 90% or whatever of people that are current on their mortgages and paying. So the moral hazard there could get very ugly if it's perceived to be sort of a bailout. And so, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the plan is. Certainly we want to do things to minimize the risk of foreclosures to the overall economy. I think that's important. But I think the devil's going to be in the details because you can't isolate or make angry all those people, that are going to work every day and paying their mortgages and trying to be on time. I mean, you don't want to create an incentive for them not to do that.
Michael Cugino, the president of Permanent Portfolio Family of Funds. Thanks, Michael, for joining us live here on the KNX Business Hour. KNX News Time 111. This portion of the KNX Business Hour sponsored by The Kitchen Store.
KNX 1070 News Radio. Market closer.
The Dow coming in for a closing loss of 82 points. We're back to 7,850. NASDAQ down 7 to 1534. And the S&P 500 not feeling the love just before Valentine's Day, down 8 points. Day 27, the yield on the 10-year note now 2.89%. The price of oil shooting higher today after a big pullback early in the week. Oil close of $3.53 to $37.51, and actually oil is down about 6.5% for the week. Precious metals, which saw a good run this week, pulling back today. Gold down $13.50 to $9.35 an ounce. Gold up about 2% for the week. And silver slipped to $13.28 an ounce. Platinum pulled back to $1,070 for the price of platinum today. Banking stocks under pressure with Citigroup down 12 cents to 349. Bank of America shares down 30 cents to 557. Goldman up 87 cents to 96.45. And J.P. Morgan Chase shares move lower, down $1.50 to 24.69. KNX News Time. KNX Business Hour continues. The Dow down 82 points at the closing bell, back to 7,850. NASDAQ down 7 to 1534. And the S&P 500 down 8 points to 827. And the yield on the 10-year note now 2.89%. Price of crude oil today of $3.53 to $37.51 a barrel. And let's go now to John Kilduff, Vice President of MF Global, a CNBC contributor, oil analyst. John, what's your view of what's happening with gas and oil prices here?
Well, I think the market is searching for equilibrium at this point, Frank. And I see that equilibrium right around the $40 mark, give or take a couple of dollars. What we've been seeing, though, is concern expressed in the low price of crude oil about the ever-rising and almost full-up point at the Cushing, Oklahoma delivery point that those futures contracts trade against. And also, we saw a lot of buying of what's called the refinery spread, the crack spread, both of which got really hyper-extended this week. And what you're seeing today is profit-taking and unwinding of a lot of those positions.
Looks like the price of oil may have been stimulated by that stimulus in Washington. Do you see that happening?
I think certainly crude oil and commodities generally are going to pop up pretty rapidly once there's even a glimmer of hope for the economy. So, yes, I think the push and pull of the stimulus, the excitement, and then disappointment and excitement again is causing, really undulation across the board. So that's definitely part of it. But certainly part of it as well is the reaction to the dollar, to the various programs, and the overall, again, it's this inventory situation that just keeps building globally is keeping real pressure on prices, particularly in the very, very front of the market, as we call it.
The oil industry is still putting out the message that global demand is growing and that they're trying to get every last drop out of a tight-packed rock, even though the International Energy Agency predicted global demand would be dropping this year, and also oil inventories are, at a year-and-a-half high?
Well, the high price of the past several years certainly has generated a lot of exploration and production, and they are going to literally the ends of the world to find more and more and as much as they can. There's been some success, which has also played into this. What's going to be problematic for the industry going forward, though, is that if you recall last year, there were times when there was maybe under a million barrels a day of spare capacity. At some point next month when this new Saudi oil field comes on, OPEC itself is going to have upwards of 6 million barrels per day of spare capacity alone. So as far as geopolitics coming in to upset the apple cart and push prices higher and spike us, it's going to take a while to work that off, Frank.
John Kilduff, Vice President at MF Global, a CNBC contributor and a leading oil industry analyst. John, thanks very much for joining us here on the KNX Business Hour. We have some... KNX Business Hour continues. The Dow down 82 points at the closing bell. NASDAQ down 7 and the S&P 500 down 8. Yield in the 10-year note now 2.89%. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid predicting Congress will finish its work on the $787 billion economic stimulus plan possibly in the next hour or so. The Obama administration betting that combining tax cuts of a few dollars a week for most workers with an infusion of hundreds of billions of dollars of government spending over the next few years will halt the economy's free fall and get this recession turned around. Joining us now, Congressman Adam Schiff, a Democrat who represents the Pasadena area. Congressman, thanks for being with us. Give us your reaction to the stimulus plan passing in the House and what this means to Southern California.
Well, I'm delighted that the stimulus passed, and hopefully the Senate will take quick action so that we can get this money into the economy and start creating jobs. I think the president really summarized it in a way the nation could fully grasp when he said that last month we lost as many jobs as there are people in Maine. It's as if every employed person in Maine lost their job in a single month. That really struck home. And now that this bill is passed, hopefully we can start restoring those jobs and begin the process of turning this aircraft carrier, that's our economy, around and moving it in a better direction.
All right, on the front page of the LA Times today, we see the state expects $26 billion in the stimulus plan, but despite this federal money, Sacramento's talking about raising taxes and increasing fees and cutting services. Give us your view of how this money is going to be used here in California, what impact it'll have on our economy.
Well, I think it's going to be extraordinarily important, given the terrible budget problems that we have in California. Without it, the budget hole would be so much bigger. There'd be so many more layoffs, and to the degree that California has to raise revenues, that can have a suppressing impact on the economy. So the federal funding is, going to be critical. It's also really important that our legislature find a way to work together, and the governor find a way to work with the legislature to resolve California's budgetary problems. I was talking to one of my Louisiana colleagues the other day, showing him a front page LA Times story about how California's credit worthiness is now 50th in the nation. We fell behind Louisiana. And in the state of Louisiana, they can now say, thank God for California, or they would be last. And that's a pretty sad legacy for the great state of California.
The other big story this week, of course, the banking sector still under pressure over uncertainty about how the bad assets will be dealt with. Foreclosure is still rising, and we understand the president now will be making an announcement on Wednesday. Give us your view of what's happening here and what can be done to deal with the foreclosures. What do you expect to hear from the president next week?
Well, I expect him to put some meat on the bones of what Secretary Geithner talked about earlier in the week. There are really three legs to this stool of the economic recovery. We have the stimulus that just passed the House. We also have continuing bank and credit problems that have to be addressed, and then we've got the mortgage problem. Until we can start restoring home values and put some floor under the cratering of those values, we're never going to get ahead of this problem. So I expect the president is going to talk about how he's going to use much of the funding we've already approved, and as well as some new capability to stem these foreclosures, to keep people in their homes, and to start turning these housing declines around.
See it tonight, read about it tomorrow, but hear it now on the KNX Business Hour. That's Southern California Congressman Adam Schiff, a Democrat, will be speaking to Republican Ed Royce momentarily about the stimulus package that passed this afternoon, and the Senate is about to vote on it within the next hour. Here at the CBS Broadcast Center in LA's Miracle Mile, Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Morgan Stanley say they placed a moratorium on foreclosing on some homes to give the government time to launch a $50 billion mortgage relief program. President Obama expected to make an announcement on Wednesday. Joining us live now is Sean O'Toole, who's the president of ForeclosureRadar.com, who also tracks what's happening here in California very closely. Sean, give us your reaction to what may be coming down the pike here.
Well, we've seen foreclosures decline slightly this month, about 3% notices of default on a month-over-month basis. And we're seeing it happen at different banks differently. So Countrywide, who's pretty well through their, or Bank of America, who's pretty well through their purchase of Countrywide, Countrywide foreclosures are starting to tick back up, whereas J.P. Morgan, some of these others, are dropping off quite a bit. We expect them to drop off a little further with some of the announced moratoriums, but, you know, the reality is we already have a pretty significant foreclosure moratorium in place. We've got 7% of homes nationwide in default. less than 3% in foreclosure. That means, you know, if we were 2 years ago and we were foreclosing on all the folks that were actually in default, foreclosure numbers would likely be double where they are. We're already at historic levels.
Are they talking about using, what, $50 billion for a mortgage relief program? What do you think we'll get from the president next week, and what impact will that have here in California?
You know, the some of the things that we're hearing coming out of Washington, you know, this idea to make the payments, help homeowners make their payments, are fairly ridiculous. You know, the problem is, essentially, we've got, you know, perhaps 20-25% of homeowners now underwater, perhaps as much as $4 trillion in negative equity that needs to be dealt with nationwide. And until we start dealing with that problem, foreclosure moratoriums, some of these other things are just going to delay getting back to a healthy housing market.
Sean O'Toole, the president of ForeclosureRadar.com, and anyone who wants to look at his latest report on foreclosures can go to that website, ForeclosureRadar.com. Sean, thanks very much for joining us live here on the KNX Business Hour.
KNX 1070 News Radio. Market closer.
This portion of the KNX Business Hour is sponsored by Citibank. We saw the bears get stimulated today. Despite the passage of that massive economic stimulus plan, the Dow closed down 82 points, 7,850, NASDAQ down 7, and the S&P 500 down 8. The yield on the 10-year note, 2.89%. Price of oil spiked higher today of $3.53 to $37.51 a barrel, but is down about 6% for the week. Gold slipped after a big run-up this week, down $13.50 today to $9.35 an ounce. Gold is up about 2.5% for the week. Silver slipped to $13.28 an ounce, and platinum is at $1,070 an ounce at $10.70. Banking stocks under pressure. B of A down 30 cents to 557. J.P. Morgan Chase shares down $1.50 to 24.69. Morgan Stanley stock today down 6 cents to 22.93. Citigroup shares down 12 cents to 3.49. The president plans to outline a home foreclosure plan on Wednesday during a trip to Phoenix. That announcement today coming from the White House. Of course, the big story, passage of the economic stimulus package in Congress. And just about an hour from now, it's expected to be taken up in the House. A little while ago, we heard from Democrat Adam Schiff from Pasadena. Joining us now is Ed Royce, a Republican who represents parts of Orange County. Congressman, give us your reaction to the stimulus package passing today without Republican votes and its impact here in California.
Well, one of my observations, I think the federal government is going to need to issue $2 trillion worth of Treasury bonds in the coming months as a result of this passage. And the bond market's never seen such a large bond issuance in such a short period of time. One of the things that concerns me is how that will influence California's borrowing, because, as you know, California is running a deficit just as the federal government now is running a $1 trillion deficit. This is almost a trillion on top of the $1 trillion deficit. So we've got budget deficits at the federal level running at 8% of GDP. It's now going to go to 10.5%. That's the highest anybody's seen in the Western world among developed economies. And I'm concerned about how it's possible for California or now the federal government to borrow this much money for this kind of deficit spending.
How are we going to pay for all this?
This is the mystery. And, you know, Japan in the early 90s had this same problem with a recession, and they decided to do a stimulus bill. They actually did 8 of them over a period of 9 years. And every time they got in deeper and deeper, and their debt just went up and up, and the economy contracted more and more, they finally, at the end of the 9 years, gave up on the spending stimulus idea and said, you know, well, instead, let's write down the bad assets and get to the truth about our housing sector and commercial sector, because that's what underlies the problem. Once they did that, they climbed out. And I think what we should be doing here is focusing on how we can rearrange these mortgages so that we can get people in 30-year mortgages, you know, workout arrangements, loan workouts to get the interest rate down to an affordable amount, so that works out for the banks and it works out for the borrower, because these foreclosures are what's driving the underlying problem in the economy. You can do that without putting in federal dollars, which we don't have to begin with, and that would help so many people and would help turn around the housing sector and, you know, restore stability and begin economic growth. So I think we're on the wrong track, according to several of the economists that I've talked to, and the Congressional Budget Office also is concerned about this approach, because they say this amount of social spending doesn't stimulate the economy, unfortunately.
We saw virtually no stock market reaction to the passage of the stimulus plan in the House, but we did see some reaction after the White House said the president will outline a plan to help struggling homeowners on Wednesday. What do you hope to come out of that announcement next week?
See, I think that's where we should be focused right now, rather than borrow another $1 trillion that we don't have. I think that if we can do two things. One, right now, you've got to make it easier to renegotiate mortgages between banks and homeowners so that people can actually stay in their homes.
As far as the banking sector, obviously, was very much in focus this week, and the plan by Timothy Geithner, which many took it as a lack of a plan, weighed on the banking stocks this week. What can be done to deal with these bad assets and the other issues that came up in the banking sector this week?
One of the things we could do is reform the laws so that private equity could come in and take over a lot of the medium-sized, take over those financial institutions that need to be better capitalized. Right now there's a prohibition on private equity coming in and reorganizing these companies, and it's really the introduction of more capital into the banks, recapitalizing these institutions that's important. Many states have passed legislation to kind of protect the current board of directors or management, and those need to be basically changed so that the private equity would then have an inducement to come in, reorganize, capitalize the institution. And with that done, you'd have healthy financial institutions.
Southern California Congressman Ed Royce, a Republican, thanks very much for joining us here on KNX. A little while ago, we talked to Democrat Adam Schiff from Pasadena.
This is the KNX Business Hour with Frank Motek on KNX 1070 News Radio.
Well, the next hour or so, the Senate's expected to pass the economic stimulus package, and it should be signed into law by the president on President's Day on Monday. What does all this mean? Well, $787 billion economic stimulus package contains about $287 billion in tax cuts, according to the latest calculations. A refundable tax credit championed by the president of up to $400 per person and $800 for couples in 2009 and 2010. It's calculated at a rate of 6.2% of earned income and is phased out for people with adjusted incomes over $75,000 and coupled with incomes over $150,000. A one-time payment of $250 to Social Security beneficiaries, railroad retirees, and veterans receiving benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs. State government retirees not eligible for Social Security would also get the $250 payment. Small businesses with gross receipts of up to $15 million could write off 2008 losses against five previous tax years. Among other things, it also creates a new category of tax-preferred bonds for investment in economic recovery zones for job training, education, and economic development. Economist Ross Duvall, Director of Regional Economics at the Milken Institute in Santa Monica, with us now. Let's get your thoughts on what this massive stimulus plan will mean to our listeners here in Southern California.
Well, it's a large fiscal stimulus measure. One can question whether or not enough of the stimulus is going to occur this year as opposed to in 2010 and 2011. But California seems well poised to get a substantial share of the aid to state and local governments. One of the biggest will come from the funds that will be dispersed to Medicaid, which, of course, is California's big hole there. And hopefully we won't need to raise taxes and cut programs in other areas as much as we otherwise would have had to. Without that, we'll also get some aid to local school districts, which will hopefully mitigate the potential impacts of teacher layoffs in the next school year.
Ross Duvall, economist at the Milken Institute, thanks very much for your thoughts on the KNX Business Hour. Getting this word in, it's snowing in the Antelope Valley. KNX News Talk.